Hi, this is Steve Compella from Golden Arrows. If you thought I was a son of the soil, check the real soil. Just listen to Sports Live with BBK. They don't come any darker. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Sports Live with BBK.
Hello and welcome to Sports Live with BBK. This is episode number 5, and I think that for me, this is the one that's going to be absolutely, absolutely amazing and exciting, and I will tell you why. Because it has been a marathon. It is a 30-match marathon, and we are on match day 29. We've got that behind us now. We are going for the final stretch. We are going for the last matches of the Premier Soccer League, the APSA Premiership. So we are one match away from the curtain falling down on the 2019-20 APSA Premiership season. We head to the finish line with Kaizer Chiefs and Mamelodi Sundowns tied on 56 points. The champions, Sundowns, will be looking at defending their title, but the champions of this current season that's about to end will be crowned on the final day of the season. Well, Amakosi and Abafana Bestyle are hoping to be the first to get their hands on the 15 million winners check. Remember, APSA did increase it from 10 million to 15 million, and they are heading off to the sunset. They are saying bye-bye from being the anchor sponsor of the PSL, and they are doing it in 15 million rand style. Well, which coach will catch the bounty? Will it be Ernest Middentorp, winning his first ever league title in his entire coaching career? And Pitso Mosimane is looking to take Sundowns to their third successive championship. Now, he will become the first coach to win 5 league titles in the PSL era and is currently tied on 4 with Gordon Eagersind. Remember, Eagersind won it with Manning Rangers, Orlando Pirates, Santos, as well as Sundowns, and the late Ted Dumitru did a back-to-back each with the Kaizer Chiefs and Sundowns. And Kevin Hunt won a hat-trick with SuperSport United, as well as adding the fourth one when he was coaching his current club now, which is soon going to be his former club, and this is Piet Verwijts. Mosimane, in course, has got hopes of handing the Brazilians their 10th title, La Decima is como, in the
Premier League. La Decima is coming. La Decima is coming. It's not over.
Can't it be Saturday already? Well, today, I've got one thing and one thing only. We're going to have no news. We're going to have no predictions. But what we're definitely having today is part 2 of Fan Face Off. And in the black and gold corner, all the way from Mount Naturena, it is none other than Umku Utabane. Hey, Tabane, you figure it, I mean?
It's here, Madal. It's here. It's going to be tough. Looking forward to it.
Are you excited or are you worried?
This one is not even waiting for me to introduce him, but none that talking about people who are excited or worried. He comes all the way from Tloerkop. It's that chap in the hat, Mosko Mogelo, is that man who is a Shakespeare of the tavern, Mamyangtaz. I can't wait to go there.
No, Lagajani. Let this lockdown finish. We'll come and sit Mamyangtaz and enjoy a few cold beverages. Hopefully with the PSL on the TV. And Sundowns would have already gotten the La Decima. I mean, we really need to put daylight between us and Chiefs. You know, we should not be competing with them.
That will be great. Mko,
you see, with this La Decima thing, currently Sundowns and Kaizer Chiefs are tied on 12 championships. Right?
Overall.
They're all tied on 12 championships.
Yes.
In the professional ranks of South African football. This La Decima thing is trying to reduce the South African professional ranks. That's not where this thing starts.
No.
We're celebrating 50 years this year for a reason.
Even in NSL.
We're celebrating 50 years for a reason. Right? Kaizer Chiefs was born in 1970, started playing there. Sundowns also apparently, even though they're not sure, they also apparently born in 1970.
Apparently.
So they're also celebrating. Apparently, they don't know.
These guys can't wait to get their hands on each other and grab each other by the throat. But Mku, I want to start off with you. 78 minutes by looking back before we look forward. 78 minutes, Kaizer Chiefs is cheaper United. Itumeleng Kune trips over against legs and the referee blows the whistle. It's not a call. I know you to be an honest man. Take me through that.
We're going to have to roll the camera back and start at where the spot kick, that corner kick, was taken. Was the ball placed correctly where it should have been placed before the corner kick was taken by Khamaldeen? The pictures are telling us no. So I don't know what the law is supposed to say that about that. It should have been a retake or a foul against Khamaldeen. I don't know. But we have to start from there. That's where VAR would have started as well. So definitely, no goal.
There's a reason why you have got four eyes. So very well. That was a trick question for you. But Skomo, you also have four eyes. And I see that there was a goal by Cyrino that was also disallowed in your game. Now that brings things to a very interesting point in the sense that goal difference may very well be a factor in this decision of where the league is going.
You see, like, that's where the issue lies with me, because it's not the first time. I mean, even against Chiefs on last Thursday, two Sundowns players, Mabue and Paga, were two on goal against the goalkeeper, and then just flagged. And that would have already made a huge dent on that goal difference. And then again last night, another goal, and now this time around, has been denied. So in essence, if you take away these reference decisions, then we should be looking at a very different picture. But alas, we are not there. We are here. We are where we are now. We need to take from where we are and move forward. And if you go 4-5 and you still don't get it, I'll be a heartbroken man. But in the big scheme of things, I think we've given it a good shot. And we'll throw the kitchen sink, including the back door, at Black Leopards come Sunday. We will not lie down easy. And especially with the fact that position two has already been secured, which means that we can afford to lose that game. But more importantly, we can afford to throw each and every arsenal we have at trying to score as many goals as we possibly can.
Adela, before you move on to the next question, I just want to deal with something here. Odoro is using a lot of ifs. Talking about ifs, there was a disallowed goal of Kaizer Chiefs. There was a penalty denied against Bidvest Wits, which would have made Saturday a non-starter, really. Had we been given that penalty, we would be 3 points ahead.
Now, going back to you, Khutulu, you're talking about a game on Saturday, and that game is against Black Leopards, and those guys hold the threat of becoming party poopers in that they don't want to follow Polokwane City as yet another Limpopo team being relegated. They also are fighting for their lives. Haven't you left it a bit early, considering that the last time the three of us were here, you posed the question saying, can your team win 5 matches in a row? I know I can. You can't definitely do it this time around. You don't have it in your hands. Black Leopards, my friend. Difficult?
No. It is still within our hands. We are tied with Kaizer Chiefs on points, which means that the next 90 minutes, whomever scores more goals or does that, is well within our reach. It's not a question of we need anyone to do us any favors. We are all tied on 56 points. So which means that when we start the game, whomever scores more points than the other one will, even if both teams win, whoever scores more goals will win. Only issue I have would be the pitch, but I can't complain about the pitch. We're a big club. We need to go out there and try and score as many goals as we possibly can. And fortunately, this time around, the Leopards themselves are not safe, which also helped last night when we played against Polokwane. You see, it's very difficult when you're playing against a team that is happy not to win. Yeah. That is where the issue then becomes a problem here. But with our quality against a team like Leopards that still wants to go out and secure points to save their status, it's gonna be hammer and tong at it. I'm still adamant that last night we could have easily scored another two goals. I can see us scoring four against Black Leopards and ask the question for Chiefs how many they can score against Baroka.
Let's take it back to you, Mku. You saw Baroka beating Sundowns 1-0 on the very same night that you yourselves lost a game. So it's been going forwards and backwards between the two of you. You're playing a Baroka that lost 4-1 to SuperSport United, and they also, like Black Leopards, in the same situation of trying to make sure that they secure their PSL status. Middendorp last night says, oh, look, it was a fantastic team effort. Number one, did you see anything fantastic about it? Number two, Are you confident that you've got the guns to make sure that you beat Baroka? Same Baroka who became very famous in South Africa in that Nedbank Cup game many, many years ago, and they beat you in that. Are you confident?
The only fantastic thing about last night, Madala, was that we were able to hold on to the lead until the end of the game. In this bubble, definitely not. Definitely not. The stats are telling us otherwise. But I'm positive. I mean, like Black Leopards, Baroka is in a position where they're not safe. They need to open up. Need to go out and try to make something out of Saturday's game. And the same goes for Chiefs. It's going to be who wants to survive and who wants to win the league title. That's what's at stake on Saturday. My only worry is the pitch on Saturday. When home allocations were done before the resumption of football in the bubble, and I mentioned two stadiums that I was really, really afraid of going to, which is Bidvest Stadium as well as Turk Stadium. And Saturday, we are going to Bidvest Stadium against Baroka. A small pitch that suits a team like Baroka. But we've gone there before and won against Vets. And Saturday, for us, it's not about how many goals we must score. But it's about getting 3 points, right? We score one goal, suddenly Sundowns need to score 5 goals in the other match. We score 2 goals, that increases the tally for Sundowns. Sure. That's what it is. And if both games, Sundowns ends in a draw and ours also ends in a draw, we take it. So Sundowns needs to win, definitely all out. We also do need to win, but draw in either of the games will suit us as Kaizer Chiefs. Perfect.
In the event, Mkhulu, and I'm not trying to jinx your guys' hope to end your very first long spell without winning a trophy, it being 5 years. In the event of you guys, Kaizer Chiefs, losing this league, what would be your assessment of the season? Where would you think that you did not do enough? Because it's going to be incredulous to see a team that has been number one for this long in the entire campaign to actually crumble on the final day. Talk to me, bro.
Madale, it will come down to two things for me. The experience of the coach to win a league title, he has never done it before, right? So a coach who has won a league before would have known how to go about in these last 7 games. And Medendorp seems to have missed a trick there. I mean, looking at how his teams have been coming out in each of the 7 games, it's more than 4 or 5 changes in each game. That's not how to go about winning the league. You need to have a settled team and make sure that you go for it. And also with the players as well, there are only, if I'm not mistaken, only 3 players in that Kaizer Chiefs team that have won a league title in the PSL before. And Kune hasn't played much with one of those players. And there's Katsand and then Bernard Parker. It will come down to those two things as far as I'm concerned. I don't think the mental fitness of the players will definitely come into question. I mean, Kamabiliat has also won it with Sundowns, so he's got some experience of winning the league. But that was a different setup, and now he's playing under a different coach. It's going to come down to those two things for me: the coach's lack of experience and also the players themselves. Saturday, it's about pushing. And remember, Kaizer Chiefs was once in this situation before with Sundowns, 98-99 season, where the league was decided on goal difference. And similarly, this season, we had scored more goals than Sundowns in that 98-99 season, but by then considered less. So we are in that same situation now, but we've got a slightly better goal difference than them.
That's very interesting. But Skomo, Mkhulu is crying about the fact that he's got a man who is on virgin territory when it comes to winning a league. You have, on the other hand, a man who knows his shoulder from his elbow when it comes to this. You're talking about a coach who's been in charge of Mamelodi Sundowns and has for many years finished either first or second. He knows exactly what to do to navigate this, but you know as well as I do, nothing is guaranteed in football. Can Peter Mosimane really get Sundowns to that which you, as the Yellow Nation, have been craving, that Latesima that Mkhulu doesn't want to talk about? But can you do it? Can you really pull it off? And if you don't score or pull it off, where, like I've just asked Mkhulu, will you say that is where you had faltered over the season?
For starters, we definitely can pull it off. I have no doubt about that. We were here in this position where we had to win the last game against Free State Stars last season. And Free State Stars were facing the chop. We had to win it. And against a team in their own background, on their own pitch. We had to get the results. We got the results. We went to Bethlehem and we got the result there to get us the ninth title. Now we are back again in Dobsonville on a neutral ground against Leopards. We still can do it. There's nothing that is going to stop. We have the wherewithal in terms of how are these things done. The whole team has been here and the team has done it before. So I have no doubt about the fact that we have that ability as long as we have our business face on. If we have the red mist, if we see it, unlike what you saw when we played Baroka, you know, beginning of that game, I saw Piso's interview. I mean, he had this smile, which is uncharacteristic of Piso before a match. And if we look back, I'm sure he's an honest man himself. He would look back at the game against Baroka and wonder, what is it that they did wrong? What is it that they actually, I mean, it's so uncharacteristic of Sundowns to go through 80, 90 minutes without a shot on target, without a real test in the keeper. It was a game that I'll point to and say, this is the game where this season was lost. Look, for us, we do have other things that we can still celebrate. But in terms of the PSL, I could point to a moment where I would say it was this moment where we let it go. I would say it was that Baroka game. I think we really, really... And it would be actually something if Baroka would be the team that does that to Sundowns and does it to Chiefs. It would be great, actually.
You see, Mko, I see Skomo is trying to confuse you with his English. He's throwing abohwe with dal here. I'm not going to allow him to perambulate on the aspect of veracity. Mko, there's something that a lot of Chiefs fans are complaining about with the decision-making, if you like, of Coach Middendorp. You will have Nkosin Pilengobo coming in from a long injury layoff and stuff like that, and he plays what a lot of people felt was a brilliant game. And then guess what? The next match, he is not even on the benches, on the stands. You find that Middendorp in a game against the Sundowns, number one and two, he throws in a young player who is 17 years old. What do you make of that? And what does it tell you? Is that part of the reason why you guys are saying that even if Middendorp can win this league, he must still head for the exit and leave Kaizer Chiefs?
It goes back to that tinkering that I spoke about the last time, right? You've got to understand the occasion as a coach at a club like Kaizer Chiefs. Understand the occasion. Understand when you need to bring certain players in. Matches to bring players like Sifama, when we won against Stellenbosch in Cape Town 4-1, that was a game for a Sifama. Bring him on and let him enjoy the last 5 minutes of the game. You do not, the penultimate of the PSL running against Mamelodi Sundowns, start a game with a 17-year-old boy and put a Kama Biliat and a Dumisani Zuma on the bench. You cannot do that and expect the supporters to be behind you all the way. You're basically sabotaging us there. Right, and there also have been cries from supporters as well that Itumeleng Khune, I'm a firm supporter of Daniel Agbeyi, by the way. I've been supporting his selection. Fellow Chiefs supporters have been saying, bring Khune on. And the valid reasons for that. The man has done it. I mean, coincidentally, he came on last night, started the game, and we didn't concede a game for the first time in the bubble. That might not be due to him doing anything, but he was there, so it's a coincidence that we didn't concede a goal with him in goal. Since we started this football in the Boyo Bubble, we haven't kept a clean sheet. So it was the first time last night. So Middendorp has done a disservice for himself. We like the fact that he's not afraid to throw in the youngsters. But bringing Ngcobo in the first match, he's not injured, but he's nowhere near the team again after that. And there's no explanation. I mean, what are we supposed to make of that as supporters? Even if he wins on Saturday, if I had any power, any authority at Chiefs, after Saturday he lifts up the trophy, he celebrates, I would tell him, Hlekas, I need to see you in the office at 9 o'clock Sunday morning.
He must go.
When Nungena paid the Benzabantu, man.
It is sad to see what is like these guys like scratching and crawling like this. I mean, this is a very big team. I mean, also, you must remember there's a big brand that South Africa. I mean, we saw the CAF rankings, club CAF rankings, and you see that we are number 5 in South Africa. And the reality of the matter is, South Africa in those club rankings is only going to enter into the top five. We were number six. Yeah. If we're only going to enter into the top five as a country in those, when Chiefs and Pirates get their act together. Because that's the reality of the matter. We can't be hoping for Celtics or some other teams without a buy. I mean, even SuperSport went as far as the CAF Confederations Cup. That has to be Chiefs Pirates. You don't find guys in Morocco talking about a team that is fifth or fourth or third in Morocco. We know the big boys there. Yeah. It's time the big boys of Kaizer Chiefs, Pirates, and Sundowns show up. And when that happens, even our game goes up. So I do want to see a situation like we have right now, to see Chiefs fans interested. Because when they don't win, then the whole thing becomes a mess. We need Pirates in good order. We need Chiefs in good order. Because I know my Sundowns is there. That you can take to the bank.
You're raising a very good point in the sense that when you look anywhere else in the world, you've had situations in the Champions League prior to this one that has been won by Bayern, where you had two English teams in Liverpool and Tottenham contesting the final. You've had a situation in Germany before that also, where you had a Jürgen Klopp, who was then with Borussia Dortmund, playing a final against Bayern Munich as well. So I think that we will also be hoping that in our lifetime, as we are getting grayer and grayer, we can be able to see two South African teams in the final of the Confed Cup and in the final of the CAF Champions League. But Skomo, we were talking about young players with them cool earlier on. I see that they are a dime a dozen at Sundowns, Makgalwa, Mkhuseli, Kuno Promise Khuma lapaya, and they've come in and they've actually helped the team this season to win something like the Nedbank Cup. They're in the final of that, but they've already helped the team to win the Telkom knockout. What does that say to you about the future of Sundowns when you also look at the fact that they are players who have been long-serving, who have done sterling work for the club, but unfortunately they are getting long in the tooth?
Mkhulu lo msebenzi wethu. Thina sine project lapha, project 2024. We know what we're going to do. Like, Bitso has these next 5 years to actually put on a legacy show. So for us, hence I was saying that I'm quite happy with the mixture that we currently have. And when I look into the wind, I mean, we're already playing Mkhulisi now and Mkuma, who are already pushing to be regular starters, regardless of what conditions they are. Because right now, you can say it's Mkhulisi, Mkuma, Makgaola. They are already there. And all we now need to do is to kick on. Yes, we'll be phasing out loyal servants, guys that have contributed. I mean, I saw it last night, my left back. You know, it is sad to see when the years have caught, or which invariably always catches up with all of us.
You give them five-year contracts, though.
With our budget and our generosity of our chairman, we can afford to do many things that other teams cannot afford.
To say
that doesn't, however, mean that a Mahaman has not been earmarked to replace a Hlompho. That does not mean that a Kapinga has not been earmarked to replace a Mshishi. We do have the pipeline. And when we have that pipeline, I'm sure that we will stay at the level where we are in the top two, which is something that is quite remarkable. So I'm quite confident of the fact that even past Saturday, my future looks bright, which is not something I can say about you. But
cool, of course. You have to tell me then. You say that Middendorp wins this thing for you. You call him in on Sunday. You tell him, Mhlekazi Papa, how do you rebuild? Who helps you with that process? Where do you get the players? Don't forget the small matter of what is going to happen at the Court of Arbitration for Sports. Yeah. And if that does not go in your favor, it will impact you negatively going forward. What do you do as we are about to wrap up here on a Sports Live with the PBK?
You know, apart from our coaching challenges, PBK, what pains me the most about Kaizer Chiefs in the past five seasons now is that when high-profile players are mentioned within the PSL linked with teams, Chiefs is not mentioned alongside those players. Those players are linked with Sundowns. Those players are linked with Pirates. And and in the past four seasons, we've seen more than 35, 40 players coming and going at Kaizer Chiefs. That tells us something about what's happening there in terms of recruitment of players. So that's one thing that we need to fix. players like Modibe, for instance, players like Mukwena. I mean, Stan Matthews is on record saying he's willing to listen to offers for those players. But Kaizer Chiefs is not in there. Players like Diruk at Maritzburg, for instance. Yeah. Kaizer Chiefs is nowhere close being mentioned with those players. We bring in a nobody type of players and hope that the brand Kaizer Chiefs is going to make those players into or turn them into quality players that can play for a club like Kaizer Chiefs. That cannot work. And for me, the two coaches that can go get to Kaizer Chiefs and hit the ground running, my first preference would be Gavin Hunt, definitely. He's not afraid to play the young players. He knows how to build a winning team and keep a winning team. He did it at SuperSport 3 seasons back to back.
Doing it now, Mku Edwards, with the ratio of young players who actually have given him so much in terms of playing, in terms of playing for their contracts. They've got no clubs. Like, he doesn't have a club going forward. Sorry to disturb you there.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I'm worried that there doesn't seem to be any concrete or solid link between the club and Gavin Hunt. And he might end up in another club when he was actually available at this time for Kaizer Chiefs to have him. And another coach who, to a certain extent, I will back, would be a sort of a comeback coach, Stuart Baxter, is another possibility. Because he has done something, he has won trophies at Kaizer Chiefs. But my only concern about Baxter is he's not the young players type of a coach. He's not your coach that is going to stay there for more than 3 seasons and building a team. He's going to get in and probably win something over 2 seasons. And when something comes up, a coach like Stuart Baxter is always on his bike looking to go elsewhere. A coach like Gavin Hunt, it's somebody that you can build for a long term with and build a team that can compete with Sundowns. Because in the market, Sundowns is dominant. That's a fact. Sundowns gets the players that it wants to get. Highlands Park is about to be sold. There are some top players there at Highlands Park. And this arbitration, court of arbitration case that is going to be heard next week, to a certain extent, I even if that were to go against us, BBK, I don't think we're going to use, we have never used the previous transfer windows to boost the team in a way that it needed to be. So that's going to be used as an excuse by the management to say, look, we can't get the players that we wanted to get because of that court case. And going back to 2018, when Steve Kompela was fired, Kaizer Chiefs issued a statement there promising supporters a squad overhaul. What came out of that? Nothing.
The last time you really went to the market and got what you wanted was when Kaizer Motaung got Stuart Baxter, an entire Bafana Bafana defense of Tshepo Masilela, of Eric Matsoho, of Morgan Gould, Mashamaite, as well as Pakaka. And I worry, because if you're playing what has not happened in terms of bringing players, even if you bring back your Baxter, is he going to be able to do that so that he can replicate the success that he had the last time? Skomo, you're talking about Project 2024. There's also a small matter of the fact that you find, especially here in the bio bubble, people kind of like pointing questions at the selections that the coach has done, Upitso Mosimane. You have a player that you've rechristened, Henderson, that perhaps may have run his course. Perhaps you keep it from because of his experience, because of what he does off the field with the younger players that you had mentioned earlier on. But do you believe that there is a stage where there should be no romance, there should be no attachment, there should be no, I'm not going to dump him now.
No. That goes without saying. In fact, just before that, I would have loved for Kaizer Chiefs to have had the foresight in February to sign, because by February, they already knew that Middendorp is not a long-term thing. And that time, Andries had left Ajax. And you know the work that Andries had done at Ajax in Cape Town. A team with foresight would at that stage have signed a contract, because Middendorp's fate was already sealed. He's just going through the motions now to finish it off. So these are the small things that worry about vision that is present or absent in our top teams in the country. By that time, you should have known that Andries is leaving. And Andries is going back to the Netherlands. What you then do in that instance, before he joins FC 20, which is now he's joined, He signed a pre-contract. He now knows that he's secured. He go Middendorp, you now know Middendorp's fate is sealed. You are comfortable. You push, you finish the season, whether you win it or you don't win it, but you already have a manager that you know is has now gained the right experience in South Africa, has the right qualifications, and has a different vision. And but anyway, that's a question one day I'll ask Bobby when I sit with him. But for now, for my team, I would say that I think the vision is clear, that when we bring in the likes of Modiba, when you bring in the likes of a Grant Mahaman, those are unambiguous. I mean, the likes of the current vice goalkeeper, Goss, if it happens, Shaming Domingo. You can actually see that from those players that are being brought in, we are not buying a bunch of potatoes. No, we're not. We are specific, we are meticulous, and we actually know exactly what we are doing, with whom we are doing it, and for how long we are going to do it for. So it's the writing is on the wall for Henderson. For he is not going to be there indefinitely. And the younger players will push him out of the starting lineup. People forget that a younger Bongani Zungu pushed Frompo out of the starting lineup. We had Teko and Bongani Zungu. Bongani Zungu, when he was converted from a number 10 into a defensive six, he had to push out a Hlompho Kekana. There were days where Hlompho and Teko were rotating because Bongani Zungu was there. So if it has happened to a younger Hlompho that he rotates from the bench with one other CM, I can see that happening again with the fact that Mahaman comes in that role that Zungu came in. Jali and Hlompho are rotating as in what Teko and Hlompho did, to rotate off the bench. That is meticulous planning. It's happened, and it yielded Sundowns highest points tally. In fact, any club's tally that happened in this republic happened when that was in place. So Biso is looking to say, Grant, you can come in here. Look, there's no left wing back or left back or better than Modiba in the country at the moment.
I just want to stop you there for a moment. You're talking about players coming in and all of that. We've seen also players coming in before. Elaki Mohomi and Obrengo, just to mention two, because the specific area that you're speaking about when you're talking about Henderson, those two names just come to mind. So what happens then? What happens with getting these good players from their teams and doing whatever it is that they were doing, and they come, especially in the cases of Ngoma and Mohomi, and they have not played in a season anything between 15 games between themselves.
Call it what it is, stockpiling.
Stockpiling? Ah, guys, not in Pizzo's era. Guys, let's be honest. Stockpiling in Pizzo's era. I'll tell you this. It's unfortunate that I'm on record as having said that Fabregas, Mohomi, is by far the most talented midfielder at Sundowns. I'm on record as having said that, and I'll continue to say that. In terms of talent, there's not a single Sundowns central midfielder better than him. The only problem with Fabri, he knows when he looks at himself in the mirror, discipline. If you are not disciplined, talent means nothing. That's the long and the short of it. For whereas with Ngoma, he has been very unfortunate in the sense that his body and the injuries he has not been able to get an extended run. And this has affected many things in terms of even his weight and all of these other factors. I think for him, and also more importantly, when you're going to compete with Cyrino, Mshishi, Villa, you really need to have something extra. Because when those three are fit and they are singing, it's very unfortunate for a player like Ngoma to lift any of these three from the lineup. So the days of Sundowns buying like 10, those days are gone. Sundowns now, since it's okay.
Stockpiling days are gone.
Stockpiling days are gone.
Yeah, sorry to disturb you, but I'm just looking at the numbers that are probably coming in for next season. It looks to me like it's getting close to 10.
Well, if you look then in the last 5 years, you'll probably find that we're doing 2-3-2-3. And not to mention the fact that, so at some stage, your squad gets old. So now it's a catch-22. What do you want? an aging squad that is not being replenished or not? Because at the moment, we need to understand that we have an aged squad. That is why you already know that Nascimento is being replaced by Libusa. We need to have this. So in the last 5 years, it's not as if we've been doing what these other teams have been doing, moving with the rotating door of having about 10 players coming in, 10 players moving out. With Pietro, it hasn't happened. And not to mention the fact that if you count the number of quality players Sundowns has lost in the last 5 to 6 years, but Pietro has been robbed of an opportunity to build a dynasty, something which doesn't happen with the top African teams. Al Ahly keep its players. Zamalek keep its players. Esperance, all of these guys, they keep their players. Whereas here in South Africa, we lose the dollies.
I can talk football with the two of you from Cape to Cairo. We can talk football, the three of us, until the cows come home. I really appreciate this, and I really hope that out there, people are going to see that here at Spotlight with BBK, we really do care about the fans' opinion. We really do care about the fact that the fans are not just people who paint their faces to the colors of their teams and eat cabbages and bread on the stands. The fans also have got brains. The fans have got opinions that matter. And I hope that by coming here in two installments, when we do go forward, we're going to be able to open it up as well to people at Orlando Pirates, to people at SuperSport United, where we can have frank, open, and wonderful discussions. As Amachita Sikuluma, about something that we love so dearly, something that means so much in our hearts, and that is the beautiful game, the game of billions, the game of football. In 30 seconds each, Mku, who's your player of the season and why? Skomo, who's your player of the season and why?
Sure. That's a tough one, BBK. But I'm not even going to fake objectivity here. I'm definitely looking at Samir Nukovic as a potential player of the season.
Great. Why? Because of the 13 goals, 14 goals?
The guy has carried Kaizer Chiefs, BBK. He has carried Kaizer Chiefs from the beginning of the season. It was clear when he was not there that we're missing something. It was clear when we played Sundowns that we're missing something. We even had to change the way that we played that stage of the season. So it's clear for me. He carried us.
Player of the season, Skomo?
This year has been very, very poor. To an extent that I really can't have a name that stands out to say this one held and shoulders, because Manyama tried to, he was very influential in the beginning of the season, which was very crucial, actually. I think those first 13 games of Chiefs, Manyama was very, very crucial. I really, really wouldn't put it past any of the two players at Chiefs, and rightfully so. I mean, if you win the title and you've had these two crucial guys, Manyama is carrying an injury now. It's clear for everyone to see. But I would say that they've been monumental. I mean, they lodged Kaizer Chiefs to the position that they're currently in. I mean, before they entered into the bubble. So it will be 6-9 grand between those two.
What if somebody argues that in your team, you have Mshishi, who's got double digits as a midfielder coming forward and the number of assists that he's had? And people may argue in the same venue, arguing about Manyama in the first course of the season in terms of his influence there. I see Mku is nodding there as well. So you're thinking that by your very lofty standards, Skomo, my friend, to even have a nomination as player of the season.
Not a single Sundowns player deserves to be mentioned in anything around about that. The standard of Sundowns are quite high. And this year, we've been very average for our standards. Don't let the fact that you're competing with poor teams like Chiefs fool you. We've been poor for our standards.
BBK, if there's one player that I'm scared of and respect at Sundowns, it's Tembazwane. When Tembazwane is on song, Sundowns is very dangerous. When Tembazwane is not there, not being himself, it becomes clear that he's missing. And Pietro knows it.
This season, BBK, just in case, like the issue I have with Mshishi is that he goes missing. You know, to be an elite player, you need to be up at it. This fear Mku has is real. That fear, he needs to bring game in, game out. Now, with Mshishi, he drops it. And that's where the issue is for me, is that there's no doubt about his talent. There's no doubt that he brings fear. He makes us play. But the issue always comes in the fact that he disappears in crunch moments, and he shows up when it's good. And that, for me, is an issue I'll always have. And I'll always say that I need a player that is there through thick and thin,
consistency yeah. is what you're looking for. But we do know that when Mshishi comes through and is in the mode to play, you saw the assist he gave to Cirilo. And there is a player at Polokwane City, I'm sure, will never send Mshishi a Christmas card because of what you both guys know. Thank you very much for this. And we are not going to lose touch during the off-season. We will definitely touch base. And thank you very much for giving us your time. I know, like me, you are also working, be it working from home and all of that. But for according us this conversation and taking your time out of your busy schedule, it is something that I do not take for granted. Kamuhelo! Kosi!
That's one parting shot for me. The Swallows, Moroka Swallows chairperson is on record saying he's demanding that players who have kept their supporters must return them. He doesn't want to launch a court case. He wants his supporters back.
All was made me cry in the PB in the Pop Save final in 1989, so it's okay. I was already a Sundowns fan then when your cousin, Les Grobler, tore me apart. So they'll never have my vote.
On that Kumbulekaya note, that's what we have time for you today, right here on Spotlight with BBK. I hope that you do enjoy this episode. Thank you very much.
Yes, guys.